Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager and Fireside Chat number 230. You thought that I was going to ask Megan what number it was, but I decided to throw a curveball. And for those of you outside of the United States, a curveball is a baseball term for a ball thrown that changes direction. I figure, right? I mean, if you're listening in Bangladesh, you don't know what a curveball is. And I value all of you who are outside the United States. Welcome to the Fireside Chat. This is Otto, the remarkable, resilient, non-pompous bulldog. How are you, fella? Yes, sir. And we'll hope that Otto stays the entire chat, but it's becoming increasingly unpredictable whether he does. This is unrehearsed, except if I have something that I want to read from, I will print that out, as will happen today. But it is unrehearsed. It's spontaneous. For all the dangers inherent in completely unscripted video or audio, but it's worth it because it's very real, obviously. It's my chance to talk to you about things on my mind and my heart, and for you to ask me whatever you would like. Okie doke. By the way, 230 is, I mean, that's just 20 away from 5 years. We've been doing this for 5 years?
Yeah.
That's hard to believe. Every week, no, I might add. Wow. The power of habit, the power of good habit. I want to talk about that once. Because I love to talk about personal stuff, but there's so much macro stuff that I've had to cover in the last 2 years. It's made that less possible. All right, everybody. So a couple of things. First of all, I covered the Russia issue last week. Oh, yes, but first, you could even leave that in. You don't have to edit that out. That gives proof to its spontaneity. But first, I do want to remind you of the truly, truly, truly important work PragerU does in saving, really, Western civilization with its billion views a year on the most important subjects of life. And we have now programs from five-year-olds to whenever human beings leave this planet. Please help us. This is fundraising month by donating to PragerU.com or calling 833-PragerU if you're in the United States. PragerU.com obviously is internationally accessible, and that everything we do is available for free because people help us to make that so. We have to try to get as many adverts out for our work because, among other reasons, that's how you let people know. But the other reason is there's a real attempt often on the part of the tech, big tech, to suppress us. So we have to figure out ways around that every week or every day. Thank you very much. It's good to make contributions, by the way. It's good for the soul. So I spoke to you last week about the Russian invasion of Ukraine. I want to just add the following, and please see my column at DennisPrager.com and many other places. Each week goes up on Tuesdays. And I do discuss the issue of what is in a country's interest, in this case, America's interest, and how often people think that if it doesn't affect their country directly, they can basically snooze it out. Just sleep through an event that happens, no matter how much evil and how much suffering is involved. I'm against putting in American or NATO troops, but I am for giving Ukraine as much in ways of military equipment as possible. I only want to add one other point, though, this week. A lot of people say, I see the reactions to my own column, for example, and a lot of people point out, well, hey, Soros hates Putin, and all sorts of other individuals and groups whom they don't like. I don't like Soros, to say the least. I think he's one of the most contemptible human beings alive today. However, I never judge right or wrong on the basis of do people I like or do people I dislike have a moral opinion differ from my own. Your moral compass may on occasion, and that's understandable, ask who is on my side. And if you find people that you normally trust are on your side, it could be very vindicating of your position. But the fact that people that you loathe are on your side on a given issue doesn't make the issue wrong. Good and evil are independent of whether good or evil people support or oppose it. I always use the example of Stalin. Stalin was the greatest mass murderer in history outside of Mao. And we in the United States, we in the West, Churchill in Britain, de Gaulle in France, I mean, they were allied with Stalin, the great mass murderer, because they were fighting Hitler. And therefore, you have to weigh in the balance. So the fact that people I loathe or people who are awful or even evil support a cause that I support doesn't make the support wrong. I hope that's clear. You don't choose good and evil based on others' opinions. And you have to have a very strong sense yourself, but a lot of people don't have a strong sense. Uh-oh, Soros is against Putin, then I'm not. That's not clear thinking. I want to talk to you about another matter, and it's been raised because of a Florida law, which opponents have called "Don't Say Gay." The characterization of the law, I'm not taking a position on the law. I'm taking a position on the lying characterization of it. It is not "Don't Say Gay." I'll read to you what it's about in a summary in the Wall Street Journal. What does the 7-page bill actually do? One section says schools generally, quote, may not discourage or prohibit parental notification of and involvement in critical decisions affecting a student's mental, emotional, or physical health or well-being. What's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. Our woke teachers, our left-wing teachers and schools don't want parents to be involved. If their 6-year-old says she is a he, they call the girl by a male name, they don't want to tell the parents. They don't believe the parents need to know. That is when I know we're dealing with a cult. Every cult, every totalitarian ideology, communism, fascism, Nazism, undermines parental authority. This is a classic example of doing so. What the hell do we owe you parents that your daughter now goes around with a male name at school? We're not telling you. That's what this is about. It is not about "don't say gay." It doesn't even hint at that. Parents also cannot be blocked from, quote, education and health records created, maintained, or used in the school. Oh, wow. That we need a bill for that? You mean parents are blocked from access to the education and health records created, maintained, or used by the school? Now, more. Another section says, classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through grade 3 or in a manner that is not age appropriate. Okay, so I don't know why even children of gay parents want children in kindergarten to grade three to talk about sexual orientation and gender identity in school. No healthy parent wants such ripping away of the innocence of children, which I'm going to come to in a moment. One more quote. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki claimed that maybe the bill's sponsors want to hurt children. Unbelievable. You know who's hurting children? Your schools. Okay, let's get this clear. It is not the parents or the legislators. Why are Florida leaders deciding they need to discriminate against kids who are members of the LGBTQI community? It's not their intent at all. I'll tell you what their intent is. Is it meanness? Is it wanting to make kids have more difficult times in school? Okay. So I will just tell you, and it's recorded, I have opposed sex education in schools from the beginning. I had no sex education in my school, and I knew about sex. Isn't that amazing? Do you realize that for thousands of years without sex education in school, people knew about sex? It's astonishing. If you have a child who doesn't know that sexual intercourse produces children, I don't mean a five-year-old, but a child from whatever age you deem appropriate, that's a bit odd. The vast majority of humans since the most primitive age knew what produces babies. Okay? And with regard to preventing pregnancy, they're not doing a very good job. With all the sex education, the number of children who were born out of wedlock is still enormous. So it accomplishes nothing. I'll tell you what its design really is. Its design is to rip away innocence from children. I find that to be a gigantic crime. You get a very short window of time in life to be innocent. And it's really, really important. Everything is backwards. They try to rip away innocence from children, and they try to keep adults innocent. So the same people who oppose the swimsuit competition in the Miss America contest want sex education for five-year-olds. We don't want it. Adults should not see women in swimsuits. That's over the top. But five-year-olds should talk about gender identity. It's sick. Everything is upside down. The world of the left is an Orwellian world. So there is no reason for any of this education. Are kids getting this great education in reading, writing, and math? Are they coming out big readers? Are they coming out intellectually alive? Are they coming out intellectually curious? Are they learning music or art or foreign languages? No, they're not. Almost every school has dropped its music and art curriculum, but they have a lot of sex, a lot. And you know what? I'll tell you, this is just a personal comment. This one of the oddest things to me, and I've had to almost rethink some of my thinking. I've always associated women with protection of children. I've always thought that men are more likely to rob children of sexual innocence than women. Not anymore. The overwhelming majority of the people involved in the Rip Children's Innocence Away movement are women. Because something has been done to women in the last 50 years. It's a true defeminization because the woman who is in touch with her nature wants to protect children's innocence. It's the woman who's not in touch with her nature who doesn't protect children and their innocence. I thought about that one. Now, remember that that gigantic march of the Million Women March, whatever it was called, when after Donald Trump was elected? And how many took their little daughters with them? How many women took their little daughters and they were wearing bunny ears? Remember that? So what did they answer when the daughter said, "Why are you wearing that?" And, you know, look cat-like. I won't say the word that is synonymous with cat. because, first of all, I found that whole demonstration sad. It shows you how little there is to complain about in America, that people marched about that. Comments that President Trump made, what was it, 14 years earlier or 7 years earlier? I remember it was 7 or 14, I think. In private, not knowing is, I mean, male banter to males. If you recorded your husband's, your wonderful, kind, honorable, faithful husband's lifelong banter with other men, I assure you they could look pretty bad. Men horse around with other men. The guard is down. They say stuff when they talk about women, and it doesn't mean anything. Okay? It doesn't mean anything. This notion that you could judge people by their private talk is ignorant. I've spent a life on moral judgments. I've spent a life trying to be a better man, to raise my boys to be good men. This is a very serious subject to me. But if you start measuring anyone, men or women, by their private talk, it is essentially equivalent to measuring them by their thoughts. Maybe God measures us by our thoughts, but we humans are supposed to measure people by their public speech and their public behavior. And private behavior, obviously, if it's unethical. Okay.
Parasite chat
117, you talk about that. On chat 117? Mm-hmm. About what?
What you say in private.
What do you say in private? Mm-hmm. That is such a service that you just rendered. Because the fireside chat, in my mind, at any rate, is a sort of course about life. It often takes a subject that's current, but it talks about life. And so I love that you could then reference it to a talk more full, mm-hmm. more time devoted to. So 117 and 230 did that. I like that. And now it is time for your video call. And take it away.
Hi, Dennis. My name is Faith Holland. I'm 26 years old and from Anchorage, Alaska. My family and I have been listening to Fireside Chats and PragerU content for a while now, and we've been so blessed by it. My question for you today is, how do you network well without coming on too strong? Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. First of all, I want you to know, Faith, that I am coming to Anchorage in April. As it stands now, just for the record, I was telling this to Megan earlier, this is a very long trip for me because I will be speaking in Hungary right before coming to Alaska. I was telling the sponsors in Budapest that I need a ticket, Budapest Anchorage. And for those of you who haven't done the Budapest Anchorage run, it's a long trip. That's a souvenir ticket, Budapest Anchorage. I don't think people book that every day. But anyway, I look at it as I'm blessed. I do. That's how I look at it. That I've always felt this, that people want to hear me speak in Hungary and in Alaska. Is a wonderful feeling. That's why I never understand when people I talk to who lecture, you know, Dennis, I don't tell you, how do you do it? Isn't it tiring? Wait a minute. I'm getting tired of people asking me to speak around the world. What kind of jackass would I be if that made me tired? It's so bizarre to me. All I am is lucky. Okay. So how do you network well without coming on too strong? There's no perfect answer to that, because too strong may be just politely differing with somebody. That's too strong. Oh, I can't. No, no, no. Yeah, it's offensive, right? People were saying that the criticism of the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, was misogynist and racist because it's a black woman. So it's too strong just to criticize. Now, why don't, I don't understand, though. If you criticize Joe Biden, the president of the United States, are you anti-male and anti-white? Then why, if you criticize the vice president, are you anti-black and anti-woman? Right? Hey, I don't understand it. Where do you make the distinction? And by the way, the same people love black women who are Republican or conservative. So that's inconsistent. Oh, I'm really anti-woman if she's a Republican or she's a Democrat, but not the other way around. But is it? But they do the same thing, the other side. They attack women and blacks who are Republican. But that's not racist and that's not misogynist, because nothing has to do with misogyny or racism. So, you know, almost whatever you say for the left is too strong. Not agreeing with them fully is too strong. But having said that, the calmer you can speak, the calmer you can put out a message on social media, the better it is. Don't use adjectives. You don't have to. One way of certainly not coming on too strong, for all intents and purposes among rational people, is just say, you know what, I read this article, and I think it's worthy of reading. I mean, if that's too strong, then nothing will work. Let me know what works, and I hope to see you in Anchorage. Dillian, 32 years old, Cedar Springs, Michigan. Dear Dennis, Megan, Nate, the great philanthropist, Sue, Otto, and Snoopy. Whew, it's getting longer, this list. I forgot. What was the Nate the Great? What was the philanthropy part?
Because Nathan is supposed to donate, or wants to donate, $100,000 or to PragerU.
Nathan wants to donate $100,000 to PragerU?
Yeah, we're holding him to that.
May we all live to see the day that you're giving $100,000 donations to anybody. Let me just say, that's a serious donation, my friend. Yes. Okay. What is your thoughtful advice as opposed to non-thoughtful advice? To thoughtless advice? I get a kick out of these adjectives. What is my thoughtful advice? Okay. To someone who feels desensitized by religion. I grew up being forced to go to church every week until I was 18. I have heard every call to altar sermon, and I can imagine, but I don't identify with religion on an emotional level, even though I believe it is important. Thank you and God bless. That's a pretty funny way to end it. God bless. I'm desensitized to religion, but God bless. That's nice. I'm not mocking it. I think it's adorable, actually. Okay, so I could spend the entire fireside chat on this subject. A lot of people do religion wrong. You know what? A lot of people do democracy wrong. A lot of people do everything good wrong. A lot of people do education wrong. Our educational institutions, by and large, stink. They're awful. They make you stupid. But that doesn't mean you could be against education. Education is a blessing from God. People screw up everything. Let me smile. Let me give a fake smile on that. People screw up everything. Not every person. There are some great people. But people in general screw up religion, screw up democracy, screw up education, screw up medicine. What we have seen in the medical field the past 2 years has been a shame. But I everything that they screw up is important. Medicine is important. Education is important. And religion is important. So the answer to religion done wrong is religion done right. The answer to education done wrong is education done right. And so on. That's what you have to realize. I'm sorry. I totally get it. I totally identify with what you're saying. in my case, I realized my best answer was, hey, if you can't join them, beat them. It's the opposite of if you can't beat them, join them. Is so I started my own synagogue, which Nate the Great is well aware of since he actually videos the service. So I knew at a very early age that religion is too important to leave to people who are screwing it up. That's how I look at it. But what is that not true about? That's my original point. And especially in your case, because you're right. I believe it is important. So you're not identifying with religion on an emotional level. So what? So what? So identify on an intellectual level. Why do you think my Bible commentary is called the Rational Bible? Because my vehicle to God and the Bible is reason, not emotion. I don't have a love affair with God. People ask me, how's your relationship with God? I go respectful. I really respect him. Creating the world is an achievement. You know, I really can't poo-poo that. I even think creating the pancreas is quite impressive, just for the record. Let alone the gallbladder, pancreas, heart, brain. It's a serious achievement. But I don't have this emotional bond. By the way, I wish I did. My father did. My father constantly said, I love God. I wrote an essay on the difficulty of loving God. And I could prove it. God knows it's difficult to love him. That's why there's a commandment to love him. You don't command what comes easily, right? Nobody says love your children. But there is a commandment to love God. God himself knows it's not that easy. So you don't connect emotionally, fine. Well, you might connect emotionally, however, to the people or some of the people who attend your religious service. That is important. That's what keeps me in California, the people I connect with every Sabbath. That's right. It's a big deal. That was an important question and an important answer. Was this the one who said, thoughtful advice? That was thoughtful advice, even if I have to say so. Okay, good. Giovanni, 17 years old, in Chihuahua. I love that name, Chihuahua. Bet you can't spell it. I couldn't. I could spell Albuquerque. That's the American response to Chihuahua. Spell Albuquerque. The number of people who don't live in Albuquerque or weren't raised there who could spell it correctly is almost zero. Albuquerque. Did that impress anybody? Yeah, thank you. All right. You are a philanthropist. What five countries would you recommend me to visit my first time to Europe? Any five you want. I've been to every European country except Macedonia. That's a lot of countries. Europe has an incredible number of countries. I got to look up what number. Is it 40? I mean, it's really large. And I've been to all of them, and every one is worth visiting. It doesn't matter which five you go to first. Literally. You go to Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, Andorra, Montenegro, and Monaco, and you'll have a great time. Just to take really little guys. And I've been to all of them.
You didn't have a favorite?
That's a separate question. He didn't ask, do I have a favorite? You know, you're tough. She's in a very angry mood today. I don't know why. I can't explain it. It started before the broadcast. I'm joking. One of the great things of Megan, and she is great, I'm telling you, I'm not kidding, is that she is always in a good mood. At least she always acts in a good mood. That's a beautiful, you're very stable. It's a joy. Nate, on the other hand, oh my God, he is so volatile. I don't even know what it's going to be like saying hello to him. I'm joking. He's the same. Okay, so my favorite in Europe, I don't have a favorite in Europe. People ask me all the time, what are your favorite? So I love visiting in the world. I have really enjoyed visiting India and Israel a lot. And I kept asking myself, why do I really like visiting India and Israel? And then I realized that the only two countries with their own religion. And that's a big factor. So it creates a different world in many ways. Oh, but in Europe, Europe is a blast to visit. I mean, there's an especially, I was going to say, especially if you like culture and shopping. I mean, that's the truth. It doesn't get better. Although let's see, shopping Hong Kong, shopping, oh boy. But Hong Kong is now under Chinese rule. And I won't say anything about that because there are people in China who are watching this. So hello, welcome to the Fireside Chat. All right, I hope this was helpful. Otherwise, I failed. That's how I look at it. On behalf of Otto and the rest of us, I'm Dennis Prager. See you next week.
Thank you for watching this video. To help keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.